We start today with Scott Peterson and Shoshana Solomon reporting, respectively, on Iranians and Israelis living with near constant warnings of incoming missiles. Then we move to Nigeria, where contributor Ogar Monday shows us a bright picture of women, once destitute, looking for ways to support their families by banding together to purchase land to farm and practice group economics. Their work is inspiring others. The barriers are still here, but the mindset is changing, says Gizan Shahul, national president of the Nigerian Association of Women in Agriculture. More women are beginning to see land as leverage, and a lot more of us are taking ownership. It's Wednesday, March 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A U.S. counterterrorism official resigned, citing the Iran war. Joe Kent, director of the National Counterterrorism Center, wrote on X that he could not in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran, and said previous wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America. Mr. Kent is a Green Beret combat veteran. During his confirmation as director last summer and a preceding race for Congress in Washington State, Mr. Kent was scrutinized for his ties to right-wing extremists, including a member of the Proud Boys. The European Union proposed to pay for a pipeline repair in Ukraine. It seeks to convince Hungary to lift its veto of a $106 billion aid package for Ukraine. Tensions between the two countries have escalated since Russian oil shipments through the Druzhba pipeline, which delivers to Hungary and Slovakia, halted in January. Ukrainian officials say the Ukraine portion of the pipeline was damaged by Russian attacks. Hungary and Slovakia have said Ukraine is delaying its reopening. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has called repairing the pipeline tantamount to lifting sanctions on Russian oil. Also, Amazon unveiled speedier delivery. The retailer announced one-hour delivery to hundreds of American cities and three-hour delivery to more than 2,000 cities, suburbs, and towns. The push to speed shipments of more than 90,000 everyday products, such as pantry items and toys, is driven by competition. Walmart and Costco offer same-day delivery through partnerships with Instacart. Walmart's Sam's Club has a same-day delivery to a 40-mile radius of the cities it serves. Amazon Prime members will pay $9.99 for the faster option. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or on our app for the latest news. Israel's claim to have killed Ali Larijani, a pivotal Iranian leader, served only to escalate the crisis atmosphere that Iranians are feeling. How to cope and envision a future while facing crushing U.S.-Israeli attacks and a rigid regime that sees protesters as just like the enemy. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. After nearly 2.5 years of intermittent war, with sirens, dashes to shelters, and sleepless nights, this madness that is our new normal, Israelis acknowledge war fatigue's toll even as they want arch-foe Iran to be defeated. Contributor Shoshana Solomon reports from Tel Aviv, Israel for The Monitor. The U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran have had wide impacts on the Middle East and beyond. The attacks have also burned through a costly chunk of U.S. weapons stockpiles. Anna Moran Grober reports for The Monitor. Across rural Nigeria, women cultivate most of the smaller land plots, but rarely own them. The Humsin Women Farmers Shepwan Cooperative Society is quietly changing that and creating a blueprint for expanding women's land access in the country. Contributor Ogar Monday reports from Shindam, Nigeria for The Monitor. The Bernard Goetz trial in New York grabbed national headlines at a time when crime was a major concern. Two books capture the social and legal fissures that the case laid bare. Contributor Barbara Spindell writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on ending the deceit that lures Africans into Russia's war. For most of the 4-year war in Ukraine, Russia's trading partners in Africa have maintained a studied silence on the issue. These nations rely on Russia for crucial imports, especially the oil that fuels their modernization and the wheat that feeds their burgeoning populations. But recently, civilians in several of these trade-dependent countries have pushed their governments to speak up about a much different, much murkier type of trade with Russia: the deceitful trafficking in humans who are forcibly thrown into the Russian battlefront in Ukraine. Last month, families of Kenyan men allegedly duped into fighting for Russia held protest in Nairobi as the government revealed that more than 1,000 citizens had been so recruited. These are matters of human rights, national responsibility, and continental dignity, declared the Center for Investigative Journalism in Zambia. When African lives are treated as expendable labor or disposable combatants in a foreign conflict, governments have a duty to ask hard questions and to act. This week, Kenya's foreign minister visited Moscow and announced that Russia has agreed to stop using Kenyans in its war in Ukraine. According to the Switzerland-based investigative group Impact, more than 1,400 Africans had contracted with the Russian army as of last September, and over 300 of them were killed within months of arriving at the front. Impact described how Russia uses social media influencers and intermediaries to draw in Africans with promises of jobs or scholarships. On arrival, their passports are taken, they are forced to sign Russian language contracts they don't understand, and they are shipped to the front. While human trafficking is a crime under international law, recruiting from third countries is not unusual to boost troop contingents. The number of recruits joining Russia's military has been steadily dropping, most recently by 6%, from 2024 to 2025. Early in the war, North Korea sent 14,000 of its soldiers to fight alongside Russians, earning foreign exchange. Non-native fighters have also joined on the Ukrainian side, but they have done so voluntarily. Russia, on the other hand, relies on systematic deception and the exploitation of citizens facing economic desperation and weak institutions, according to the Swedish publication Engelsberg Ideas. However, the growth of Russia's influence is not inevitable, analysts William Makapetris and Ryan Jarek wrote encouragingly in the International Affairs Review last month. A comprehensive strategy to engage at-risk nations and dismantle trafficking networks can curb Russia, they said. Despite economic and institutional challenges, African governments are stepping up. Kenya recently shut down more than 600 recruitment agencies suspected of duping applicants with promises of jobs overseas. And along with South Africa, Ghana, and Botswana, among others, Kenya is working to repatriate nationals from Russia's military ranks and from prisoner of war camps in Ukraine. Preventive and restorative actions such as these are essential and effective in upholding individual dignity and national accountability. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how letting go of fear and embracing spiritual truth can bring healing beyond our own lives. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Noel Flatt, and Victoria Hoffman.
podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.